When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
This is One Heat Minute.
Drop of a hat, these guys were rock and roll.
What's your name?
Wayne Grove.
Look like gangbangers working the local 7-Eleven to you. Robbery, homicides, take it out.
Give me all you got!
Listen,
give me all you got!
I do what I do best. I take scores. You do what you do best, trying to stop guys like me.
A podcast dedicated to all 170 minutes of Michael Mann's LA crime opus Heat, 1 minute at a time.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to One Heat Minute. I am Blake Howard, your host as always, and joining me as promised at the end of the last episode with Diane Venora embracing her daughter in the kitchen after being medicated is the wonderful Guardian Australian film beat writer and Daily Review film critic, Luke Buckmaster. Welcome back, sir.
Thank you, Blake. Good to be here.
Excellent. So, we're up to the 8 minute of Heat.
We sure are.
I've roped you into this madness with me. Thank
you
so much.
Very happy to be roped in, my friend. Very happy to be roped in.
Let's check this out, and you guys can have a listen along, and then we're going to talk about this next minute.
You won't come before we find them, I promise you.
Hey, give me another refill. Now we won't refill.
What's your name?
Wayne Grove.
Michael, huh?
So, we sort of start this minute. There's like a couple of brief seconds that we start the 8th minute. So, we start this, just a couple of seconds is the final sort of scene and talking and mentioning that nothing's going to be a problem, and Venora sort of reassuring Natalie Portman's character that, you know, we're going to find it, your dad's going to get here on time, everything's going to be fine. And bang, at about 7 minutes, 3 seconds, we see a restroom at this completely lovely mural, what looks to be sort of Spanish place, and we get introduced to Kevin Gage's mulleted Wayne Grove. And if you look at about 7 minutes, sort of 9-10 seconds, as he's walking past this Hispanic sort of beautifully muraled cafe, is what looks to be 2 lightning strikes or SS on his neck tattooed.
Yeah, yeah.
Which some sort of Aryan Brotherhood tats often denote not nice person. Would you say that?
Yeah, I think that's a fair call. Yeah, it does. Although it's quite subtly done, you wouldn't necessarily think he was tattooed in swastikas, for example. But
no.
It's a very LA kind of setting, isn't it?
Massively LA. This is the first that the movie's really looked LA.
Yeah. And even then, it's kind of surreal LA too. It's sort of kitschy LA. It's this sort of Spanish sort of tableau sort of thing when he's coming out of the loo. And there was also a hose just attached to the wall, which almost looks like an old school film reel. I think it's probably about 4 or 5 seconds in, so it's just sort of left there. It looks like a kind of film reel. But yeah, he's he's obviously kind of, even from these short moments, looks like it's kind of like a combination of a man on a mission, but also almost like a man without purpose. He's left the building. He's got that kind of strange look on his face, which suggests I'm not really very happy with the world.
Yeah.
But he's also in a bit of a hurry as well. And then he puts on his glasses, which kind of disguises the look a little bit.
Yeah, he looks a bit frazzled, and I love it. He's like, give me a refill. So he's been there for some time, but it's exactly like he said, he's unsure. There's something that's weird about this. He's like, I don't know. There's in a rush. Maybe did I miss anyone? I hope I goddamn didn't miss someone. I've just had to duck into the bathroom. He's been waiting there for a little bit of time impatiently. And then right now we're about 7 minutes and 20 seconds and he sees his ride, a massive heavy duty towing truck. And he sort of runs out of there before he's able to pick up his refill.
Yeah. Yeah. And we actually saw a reflection in the window too. I think, did we see that huge truck in the reflection? I think it's
Let's have a look.
Possible.
Let's have a look. It's fun watching him do
this. So where was he? Was he buying fruit or...?
No, it looks like this is sort of a breakfasty bar, looks like. And he's getting coffee. He's tapped his cup down.
That's right.
And let's see if we can see the reflection. He's not
really a fruit kind of dude. But you can see in the window there's a reflection of looks like a yellow vehicle. Is it?
Yeah, that's like...
When we move away, is it... let's just go forward again.
It looks like
a continuity error there.
We might have, but it looks like this again. Very industrial LA. Doesn't look like LA. The classical LA that we're used to seeing. There's a guy walking past in a shopping cart, looking homeless because it's full of sorts of garbage and whatnot.
Yeah,
and here we run up, and bang, Kevin Gage runs up to the truck. We've got. The lovely
Tom Sizemore
sitting here in the truck. Bang. Leather glove, puts his hand up. It's 7 minutes and 27 seconds, and I just love this interaction. What's your name? Wayne Grow. What a weird name.
It is a weird name.
There's such suspicion and weirdness on his face there.
Yeah, and yet he's kind of putting sort of his sort of first foot forward. He's really the one going, who are you, sort of thing.
It's not just that I'm going to allow to be anyone to jump into this
truck. No, it's a power issue. It's a power struggle. And you're going to see more of that a little bit later on. Yeah.
I love that, a power struggle. So he's here. He looks him up and down. He clearly... And what I love about this is I feel like he knows who the guy's name is. He knows probably what he should look like. But he's still making him stand there and say, what's your name? Tell me who you are. All right, now you can come in. And just even the look of him. You look at Wayne Grow, he comes in, he's a bit balding, he's got these reflective sunglasses on and tattoos, wants to chit-chat. Love that. You're Michael, right? Wants to chit-chat. I love that. I'm not here to be your friend.
Yeah, it's that kind of classic criminal dynamic where one person wants to kind of shoot their mouth off, chew the fat. They've got some void in their life that wants to be filled with the social element of criminalization. You know? But on the other hand, Michael's a professional. He's got all the kind of he's as impersonal and businesslike as someone in an abattoir or a slaughterhouse. You know?
Yeah.
He's there to do a specific job. He's got to move on to the next job. Well, I'm not here to get to know you, and frankly, I'll forget about you later on.
Yes.
Yeah. So there's always in the quiet criminal, there's a danger, you know, because they're more erratic, they're more unpredictable. But having said that, so is the loudmouth.
Yes. You
know? So is the loudmouth. I mean, I guess maybe like a Mr. Blonde type character is the quieter one who can get up to a whole lot of mischief. But then on the other hand, you've got Blabbermouth over here who's incapable of all sorts of things.
Yes.
So they're both erratic and unusual in their own way, but one is definitely calling the shots and he's behind the wheel.
Even the gloves. So this, you get this massive, this Rajah, this giant truck, which is going to feature so powerfully in one of the coolest opening heists, I think, of any film. But we're sort of at the moment, we're pulling all these pieces together. We've seen Neil McCauley arrive on the train. We've seen him sort of very businesslike walk through an emergency room. We've seen Kilmer's Chris Shahila stand there and buy explosives. And even though you see the Clark look him up and down and feel like he's wrong, he's doing all the right things, but there's almost an acknowledgement, this sort of brash acknowledgement that there's something going down. The quick digression we've had with Vincent's family is to contextualize that side of it, but we're right in the thick of it now. It feels like we've had a little quick digression to another couple of timelines, but we are right in the thick of it now. We are back. we are on the way to something. And as Wango is sort of putting on, you're like, he gets into the truck. We don't really see it, but he gets into the truck and he starts applying a uniform. This crew that Michael is a part of is very prepared.
Yeah, yeah. And this is also just in this moment, I think, it's starting to come together in this film. This is Michael Mann really having a lot of respect for the geographical location of both the audience, of the characters and the audience.
Yes.
So it's almost like his directorial style reminds me of a kind of George Miller appreciation. So when they're staging an action scene, Michael Mann is very kind of painstakingly effective at showing you exactly where people are at any time. So
yes,
the audience is never really confused or discombobulated by that.
Yes.
And in some senses, I think he's really like almost like a Hitchcockian style. He's moving objects together. Often, I think his directorial approach in the action scenes is quite impersonal.
Yes.
And that's not in a bad way. It's really the emotions come in concentrated areas. This is business.
Yes.
And it's just business as much for Michael Mann as it is these characters.
Yes.
So he's really positioning people on the board. And we're just as we approach the end of the 8 minute, we're sort of starting to see those characters being positioned.
And particularly that also, as the pieces are coming together on the board, part of the business is you need to look the part. You need to be the part. Each of these guys have seen Neil McCauley already. And I love that you said what you said there about like Miller is you're not discombobulated. And I almost think it's something powerful about the gloves. The minute you see De Niro put the gloves on and approach the ambulance, because that's going to stop him from having his fingerprints picked up.
Mm.
We also see here with Michael holding a leather-bound glove, and then we eventually see Wango put similar gloves. It's like, we are part of a job. This job is happening today. We're back on that timeline we began with.
Mm.
It's like, we're in the same outfit. We're in the wardrobe. Here we go. This is what is going to happen. And so the final 6 seconds, you've got, you know, sort of Wango appears to be that kind of person that wants to shoot the shit. You know, we get to the 8th second and he's asking sort of almost like a pre-interview. Hi, do you guys, you know, you guys do this, you know, you're a regular crew, huh? Yeah. Like, you know, small talk. This small talk is, it's not flying. He's not a very good audience.
He's applying for a job he's already got.
Yes.
And the pseudo interview over here is well aware of what sort of shtick he's doing.
Yes.
Like he's actually not interested.
All the time, you know, as laconic as an answer can possibly become. But I love that it's still moving. We're still moving. Things are still happening. We're still getting to somewhere. I love that kinetic, we're moving. I've picked you up at a predetermined point, and at least you can see that there's way more anxiety in Wango. Even just there's, I love that contrast. There's Wango there, anxiety. I need to go to the bathroom. Like, I've clearly been here to have downed one coffee, maybe two, you know, based on his edginess. Mm. I want a refill. I'm arriving at the time you told me that I would be there. I'm here. I'm stopping here. I'm picking you up in this truck. Here's your uniform. Shut up. We're going to get to somewhere. We need to go to the next minute.
Yeah. And that idea that things are moving geographically also corresponds, I think, to Michael Mann having quite almost like a location as in map-based sense of what's going on.
So yes.
Hitchcock's North by Northwest is the classic example. Perfect. Of you can chart the characters moving North by Northwest across the American landscape. Michael Mann also has quite a fastidious attention to where they are in a map.
Yeah, if I've picked him up here, I'm literally going to travel geographically to get to that exact location.
It's a very almost like a scientific approach. You know, it's very, very extremely logical, and he wants people to know. And we also saw that in Collateral as well, as another great example of that.
Yeah.
With more aerial shots too in Collateral, more kind of helicopter shots tracking the characters' movements.
The only aerial shot that is in this film so far is literally an aerial shot of Neil McCauley walking as he walks up to the hospital. So at the moment, we get the sense that there's movement, but it's not as clinical as Collateral. Collateral's like a very intercity. It almost feels like this is an LA out of time. So in like 1995, even with the opening minute of the film, you arrive on a train that actually wasn't open to the public at the time that they shot people getting off the train. So it's almost like this out of time. So now we're in LA, as you said, there's that very beautiful green muraled caricature of LA, but it's off the beaten path. It's not classic LA.
Yeah, absolutely. And from those opening train moments, you can see the kind of smoke coming off it. It's like mist from a mountain.
Yes.
It's a way of turning something that's you know, quite machine-like and quite artificial into something that's organic and part of the natural environment, or quote-unquote natural environment. Yeah. So, and I think the big truck and the overpass on the freeway and all this stuff is a kind of an extension of that. This is the organic wilderness, but as you've said, it's also sort of like, I don't know, LA alternative or LA otherworldly or yes. LA 2.0 or something.
it's not there's no Hollywood sign in this movie.
No.
And it doesn't feel like in any man movie, even Collateral, which is, you know, people talk about it being such a quintessentially different and, you know, with Koreatown, LA, like it's got a really different LA flavor. I don't feel like when I watch LA Collateral and I watch Heat, I don't even feel like sometimes they're the same city.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And I also think it'd be very, very interesting to ask why there were so few, Michael Mann, why there were so few aerial shots.
Yes.
I mean, it's certainly not a criticism at all, but I'm quite interested to see why one has, at least according to my memory, Collateral has quite a few. I certainly remember quite a few. Whereas, but Heath has also got intensity, sort of visual intensity that tends to hover around the shoulders a little bit.
Yes.
You know, you kind of, you're almost in their faces all the time, whereas you also get an experience and a sensation of a great amounts of space. Yeah. I mean, there's just so much oxygen to breathe in this movie. It's everywhere. And it's really part of him framing things as in, well, yes, we are looking at characters right now, but we're also looking at a city.
Yes. We've only talked for 1 minute.
We only talked for 1 minute.
this is only the 8th minute.
Yeah, okay. Oh, I thought you meant we have only talked.
We've only dissected one minute.
Yeah. Well, we could do this all again and spend another. How long have we been talking about this 1 minute?
About 15 minutes. Well, 15-20 minutes.
It's a limitless scope here.
Well, let's keep going.
Let's keep going,
ladies and gentlemen. We're going to end One Heat Minute episode 8 here, and we're going to kick off with in the 9th minute because there is so much more, even in this micro interaction between Michael and Wayne Grow, that we get to relish in. And then we start to see these bodies, these pieces on the chessboard moving together to formulate one of the classic cinema heists. So join us again. Luke Buckmaster, you'll be back.
Oh, I certainly will. Try and stop me, Blakey boy. Try and stop me.
I'm not going to try.
Thank you so much, Mr. Luke Buckmaster. You can find him at Luke Buckmaster on Twitter, also on Guardian Australia, and often on The Daily Review. He is an absolute treat, as you heard. Thank you to Garth Franklin for our website design and Paul Davies for our music. We'll be back. Thank you so much for joining us on this One Heat Minute journey, guys. Please subscribe, rate, and review this bad boy on your favorite platforms.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.